Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The complexity of the human body is unbelievable. We take for granted that each of us has some 34 trillion cells, each one packing a huge amount of information. Without a God who knows us through and through, this would not be possible. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us for more on the omniscience of God, a God who knows everything about us.
Notice he says, "Search me, O God." Now, think. Verse 1, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." It's a done deal. You know all about me. Your thoughts toward me are more than there are grains of sand on the seashores of the world. It's finished. Why does he now pray, "O God, search me"? What he's doing here is he is saying, "God, I know that you know all about me. I know that you've searched me. I know that there is no crevice in my heart that I can possibly try to hide from you, in which you do not exist and which you do not see. I get that. But now, O Lord, I pray, show me what you see when you look within me." And so what he wants to do is to say, "God, now is the time for the application." It's one thing to talk about your knowledge as knowledge that is both actual and possible, that is about me. How do we apply these marvelous truths? And why is it that when we leave here today, it should be with a different perspective? Let me give you some transforming encouragement. First of all, it's very obvious that we will never get beyond God's watchful eye. Let me say that again. You will never get beyond God's watchful eye. There is no place where he does not see you. And that can be fearful. It can also be very encouraging. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever gone through a situation in which you are mistreated, you are lonely, you are rejected? God is with you and sees you. Remember the story in the Old Testament of Hagar? She was cast out of the home of Abraham and Sarah because Sarah didn't want her. There was competition, and Hagar was pregnant with Abraham's child. You know that story very well. And there she was. She was thrown out of the home. She was a slave girl, and the Bible says that she didn't know what to do, and God revealed to her twice, actually, where there was a well where she could get some water. And she decided to call that well Beer Lahairoi, which in Hebrew actually means the well of the living one who sees me. And later on, a second time, she was cast out of the home, and it was more desperate because by then her son had been born, and she laid him under a bush, and she said, "I have to walk away because I don't want to be there when he dies," because they were thirsting to death in the desert. And then the Bible says that God opened her eyes and she saw a well again, the well of the one who sees me. My friend, today, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what other people have said. It doesn't matter if you are misunderstood, though none of us like to be misunderstood. None of us like to be falsely accused, and we do all that we possibly can to rectify it. But at the end of the day, it is only what God sees and knows that is ultimately important. Praise God. David said, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will pick me up." God is there in the desert of your own experience. He is there, and of course we want to help you in the desert. Needless to say, that's what a church is. Church is a place where believers gather together to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, and to help us along this journey. But it is important for us to realize that no matter where we are, God is always with us. And he'll be there tomorrow morning when you go to work. Aren't you glad he'll be there tomorrow morning when you ride the L? He'll be there. God knows all things, and we will never be beyond his watchful, careful eye and sustaining grace. There's a second lesson, and that is obviously we can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. We hide from one another, and we think to ourselves, surely we are hiding from God, but you can't. The Bible says these remarkable and important words, that he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes his sin finds mercy. Whoever shall cover his sin. Yesterday I was with some friends, and they were talking about a rather famous individual. And they said, he's living with his girlfriend, but they don't have the same address. And I thought, wow, I wonder if they're pulling a fast one on God. That's actually funnier than I think maybe some of you realize. You don't get away with anything. God sees. Recently, we've heard in the news of a famous politician who evidently paid a lot of money to hush someone whom he had hurt or mistreated 30 years ago. And I understand his dilemma, and I can see where the human mind comes from, but you look at it and you say, you know, it would have been a lot better for him to deal with that years ago, rather than get himself involved in all of these things. And you know what? Even when no one knew about it, except maybe two or three, God knew about it. You and I never run from God. We try, but we can't. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Whither shall I flee from your presence? Heaven, Sheol, east, west. Your eyes are constantly riveted upon me, and there's nothing that I can do to shut you out of my life or out of any corner of my existence. There's something else that we must learn, of course, and that is that because of God's holiness and because of our sinfulness and our inability to process who we are without his help. And by the way, you don't know who you are unless you know who God is. But we must have someone who stands in for us, somebody who runs interference, somebody who takes our guilt so that we can even stand in the presence of God, and so that we know what to do with our lives and how to handle our sin. David understood this as well, but not as clearly as we do, that Jesus Christ ultimately is the one who came to redeem us. And just this morning, I was thinking of Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again and is even now on the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There is a Redeemer who takes away our sin, who covers that sin, so that even though we live our lives exposed to God, it is then that we find mercy and forgiveness. I needed this verse this week. When I was working on this sermon yesterday, I thought to myself, you know, I'm in fellowship with God. Everything is okay. And then in the back of my mind or my heart, there was this nagging feeling. Everything perhaps isn't as okay as I thought it was. So I prayed the prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Obviously, you know all about everything. Nothing is hid. Know my heart. Forgive me and lead me in the way everlasting. And what a blessing it is to be able to look into the face of God and know that all issues are taken care of. And by the way, those of you who are controlling, those of you who will not give up control, you who are into yourself and narcissism, in the presence of God, we have the freedom to be who we are. He learns nothing new about us, but he wants us to admit who we are in his presence. And that's where the healing begins to come. God in the garden says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Is it because God says, "Hey, you know, they're playing hide and seek, and I can't find them." You know, lots of trees in the garden. God knew exactly where they were, but he wanted them to tell him. God has you searched and me searched. He wants us to tell him. I think it was Robert Fulcrum, and I'm doing this from memory, so I could have mispronounced his name, who wrote a book entitled, "Everything That I Ever Learned, I Learned in Kindergarten." But he tells the story of watching children in the fall rake leaves and how they hid under leaf piles. And it's okay, he says, to hide, but sometimes there are those who hid so carefully that nobody could find them. So watching from his window, he was seeing all this happen. He said he wanted to go over to a leaf pile where he knew that there was a kid hiding and say to him, "Get found, kid!" Today, God says to you, get found. Admit who you are, come to Christ, and receive him. Because only through him is there forgiveness and cleansing in the presence of a God who knows absolutely everything. If God has talked to you today, you deal with a sin. You come to Christ to receive his forgiveness, and then God will help you process the rest of your life and other issues that you must encounter. Father, thank you today that Jesus knows all about us and surprisingly still loves us. We thank you for that. If we knew all about one another, it'd be very hard to love, but you in grace love us. Help us to respond to that grace and be encouraged by the mystery of your knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend today, could it be that you are overwhelmed with a sense of jealousy? You feel that life has been so unfair. You may be angry. May I suggest to you indeed that you get found? As we come to the end of this psalm, we can't help but wonder about what happened in David's life when he prayed it, because God is there to meet us, to enable us, and above all, to meet our deepest needs.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Omniscience of God, another message on the mysteries of God. Next time, the decisions God made before time began. Don't miss God's eternal decrees. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.